Thank you very much for this kind introduction, nearly a presentation in itself. And I am very pleased to be able to show some pictures of organic plant breeding in Europe, because I'm so very impressed about all the examples that we can see now from initiatives in the south. But in Europe, organic agriculture is also very diverse. We have diverse markets, and we have very diverse farms. We have small-scale organic farms, maybe some 4 hectares, that sell their products directly to consumers and have a very variable product. Some farms produce more than 40, sometimes 60 crops. But we also have large-scale farms in Europe raising from 40 to sometimes 400 or more hectares. Large-scale organic farming, producing for more global market, for the export or for supermarkets who demand a more uniform product. And you can understand that we need a huge diversity of varieties to meet all those requirements. But the common thing we have in organic agriculture in Europe, but of course also in the South, is that we need varieties that can deal with environmental variation and that contribute to building up resilience and the self-regulatory capacity of the farming systems. So that means that we cannot simply focus on one problem with varieties, but we need to focus on the system and see if varieties can also contribute to stimulate the self-regulation within a farming system and maintain a kind of a dynamic balance. And instead of ruling out variation, we need to exploit the variation and use the variation, for instance. And that means that for varieties, we have other priorities than for conventional varieties. And we still rely on conventional varieties bred for the conventional market, where they have other priorities, mostly yield, for instance, as first priority, and can compensate susceptibility to diseases with other measures, which we in the organic sector cannot do. But also we look for additional traits, and I'll show you some examples of that. For instance, for the cereal production, we look for multi-purpose varieties, because we not only need good quality for bread or for feed, but cereals also have to add to soil structure with their root system. And we need straw and for the compost, and we have a large shortage of straw, for instance, in the Netherlands. That's why we need long straw varieties instead of the short straw varieties which the conventional agriculture use. Not only because of the straw, but long straw always also means that the ear can ripen in the wind and sunshine, and it will be less exposed to ear diseases. But it also delivers, the long straw delivers more shade for more weed competitiveness. And in a research project at the Louis Bolk Institute of one of my colleagues, we found a clear correlation between the compactness of the ear. And we found that compact ears have a larger chance to be susceptible, for instance, to Fusarium head blight than the less compact ears. And such traits have not been thought about by the breeders. Not only long straw contributes to wheat competitiveness, but there has also research been done to see what kind of leaf types can contribute to more shadiness to suppress the weeds with cereals, for instance. And here on the left-hand side, you see a type that can compete with weeds very well, with more broader leaves than a cultivar here on the right-hand side that grows very upright and leaves too much light on the soil so that weeds can germinate. But that is not the case for all the crops. For onion, for instance, it's the other way around. Here, the farmers would like to have a crop that grows more with erectified leaves so that they can, for a much longer period, use the mechanical weeding to keep a good weed management. And if you there have more broad spread leaves, they will get damaged with the mechanical weeding, as we see here on an organic farm. But also other traits, morphological traits, can contribute to the robustness of varieties. Here is a research project where we have been part of looking for disease resistance to trips in cabbage, and we discovered that the wax layer can build up some protection against trips. And there are huge differences in thickness of the wax layer in cabbage and also in structures of wax on the leaves. And the breeder researcher involved Roland Voorhups of Wageningen University, a research center. He has made some initial crosses to see how the heritability is of this wax, and it seems to be intermediate, so it promises some progress in breeding, and that could be a good pre-breeding program for the breeders. But also breeding for improved root systems is an important issue that we can see among breeder researchers more and more. But we have to go back to the old varieties, to the gene bank accessions, to find genotypes that have an intensive root system and see if they can be crossed with modern cultivars to contribute to a better root system, for a more efficient nutrient uptake, and for a better exploring of the soil nutrients. But we also look for connection and interaction with beneficial microorganisms in the soil, like mycorrhizas. But also participatory plant breeding is increasing in Europe. We have learned a lot from the experience in the south, because in Europe, the farmers largely depend on formal breeders and have lost the ability to do selection on their own farm themselves. So, in fact, it is the other way around than most of you know in the southern countries. We have to move from the right-hand side from being dependent on the formal sector and try and involve farmers in breeding programs in different ways. It can be that they are involved only at the end with varietal evaluation, evaluating promising lines on their own farms and see which of the ones perform the best. But it can also be that they are involved right at the beginning, as you see in the middle, with choosing parent lines for the crossings. Or it can be a complete collaboration with breeders and farmers in all stages of the breeding program. But we are also happy that some of the commercial breeding companies are converting to organic and are paying attention to organic breeding, although that is still a very small segment. They first start to propagate some of their conventionally bred varieties organically. As we see here, a field of leek seed production, organic leek seed production of a Dutch specialized company for organic seed production, Vitalis, who has now merged together with Enza Seeds, and here is one of their fields in Italy. But we also put energy in training farmers in variety trials to express their specific needs of variety traits so that they can communicate that more clearly with breeders. Because breeders who are interested in the organic sector and want to contribute to the organic sector, they want to know exactly what the needs are, and they need to understand the language of the organic farmers and need to understand that the management is different and also requires different variety traits. So here you see a picture of farmers evaluating onion variety trials. And in the bottom, we have this, that is a post-harvest evaluation after storage, evaluating different carrot varieties, but also looking at the quality and educating farmers that you can also describe the taste and not only say if it's nice or not nice, but that you can characterize it so that you can also communicate that. And of course, also bread-making trials. But we train them not only to do variety trials and to make a list of required variety traits. There are also training courses for farmers to do on-farm selection, as you see here, where they try and exercise in doing negative mass selection or what the difference is with positive mass selection, for instance. And we have already some projects where the farmers indeed do the breeding on farm and select in open pollinated varieties for better adapted variety, as you see here, a woman farmer doing that in the Netherlands for white cabbage. But also in other countries in Europe, like here in France, farmers are involved in breeding and do trials and breeding experiments on their farm. And some even have their own bakery on farm so that they can also test for the baking quality. But we also need European cooperation. Of course, varieties need to be adapted to local conditions, but we have already for some years formed a European Consortium for Organic Plant Breeding, ECOPB, with a website where we publish the proceedings of workshops and meetings so that we can share experiences and also pay attention to policy issues like regulations, for instance. And we are very happy that last autumn there was a symposium on organic and low input, on breeding for organic and low input agriculture, which was organized under the flag of Eucarpia, which is the largest breeding association in Europe of conventional breeders. And they are more and more seeing that organic and low input is an issue for the coming years. And they founded a section, Organic and Low Input Agriculture, so that some continuity is guaranteed for the coming years. And under that flag, we can work on these issues that are important for the sector. But we also have some research projects and policy projects running at the moment in Europe with different countries, like the project Farm Seed Opportunities, where we also address the difficulties farmer breeders have with the legislation and issues like farmers' rights, which are being violated by different legislation. To end up, I want to give you some statements which feed my seeds of hope. I hope that in the future, more and more farmer breeders will collaborate also with experienced formal breeders so that we do not have to reinvent the wheel and that we can use the knowledge of the farmers and of the formal breeders together, because biodiversity depends on the number of breeders. I also am very happy to see that there are different so-called open source breeding projects in Europe. For instance, in Germany, and also among sativa in Switzerland, they are looking, they are saving the open pollinated varieties so that next to the hybridization program of the formal breeders, also the open pollinated varieties that can be propagated on farm themselves are saved, and not only saved, but are also improved. And as we have in Europe, next to the fast food industry, more and more growing a slow food movement that is pleading for regional food quality and diversity, I would say let's move away from the GM breeding and plead for a slow food breeding to pay attention to the regional food diversity and respecting the integrity of the farm ecosystem and respecting living organism. Thank you very much.